Breaking news on 92.9, powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. It's Brad Carson in studio this weekend, and John Martin from Jason and John is on the phone. We're recording this on Saturday because the breaking news last night, of course, was that James Wiseman has been declared by the NCAA ineligible. And as Gary says on CBSSports.com and all of the various places you can read about that from John and from Jeff Calkins, years before Penny Hardaway was the Memphis coach, he was a Memphis booster. He donated over $1 million to the University of Memphis. NCAA considers him a booster. Then James Wiseman's family, he used $11,500 to help them move from Nashville to Memphis so that James Wiseman could finish his high school career at East. And of course, Penny was the coach here. And that's where we're at. John Martin on the phone with me. Where do we start with this, John? I mean, basically at this point, Memphis has doubled down. They have Leslie Ballin, the attorney. They were in court yesterday afternoon, just a couple of hours before James did, in fact, play against UIC. And so Memphis doubling down, saying, you know what, basically, screw you, NCAA. We're going to play him. They have a court order that says, at least for now, they can temporarily play him. But I don't know if long-term that's the best decision. Let's start there. Is it the right thing to play him, and where do we go from there?
I mean, I think when you make the decision, to basically sue the NCAA, which is what James Wiseman has done, Memphis is listed as a nominal defendant in that lawsuit, but that's just because they're a member institution of the NCAA. They're not caused any of the action. They're just listed because they are a member of the NCAA. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense to double down the way that Memphis has. Obviously it's risky because every game that James Wiseman plays, if he's deemed to ultimately be ruled ineligible, remember, they just said he's likely ineligible. He hasn't been ruled 100% ineligible. But if he is obviously ruled later to be completely ineligible, Memphis will have to vacate all of the games and all of the wins that James Wiseman was a part of. But, you know, I think we have never seen anything like this before. You know, Chase Young, who is obviously the most dominant player in college football, is sitting out for Ohio State right now. Mm-hmm. Because he obviously took a loan from a quote-unquote family friend who it sounds like was actually an agent. And they're sitting him out. They're not playing him. But I would say the difference is Ohio State is number one in the college football playoff ranking right now. And though it's a blow for them to lose Chase Young, they could still win the championship. You know, like they could still go out and they could still, you know, a football team is made up of, you know, in college it's 85 guys, you know. So there's a lot more pieces, a lot more parts to it. And you're in theory a little bit better equipped to handle good players being hurt or not able to play, whatever the reason may be, right? Memphis, I mean, you know, Ohio State's number one. They could still be a good team and still have a chance to win a championship. Not that I'd bet on it, but they still have a chance because they just have other talent.
Right.
The difference for Memphis is that James being on the floor allows you to think about a national championship. Memphis having James Wiseman, Memphis with James Wiseman, you have national championship hopes. You take him out, you take him off the floor, you don't. Yep. I mean, you can win your league, you know, you can make a tournament. You can maybe, if you're lucky, make a Sweet 16. But I almost think the difference with James and without James is great enough to where it's like, you know what? You might as well just do it. You might as well just take the NCAA on. You know, fight back this time. If you feel like, and by the way, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to get the NCAA to reverse this decision because they've clearly, I mean, they're playing a game of chicken that we have never seen, right? Like we have never seen a school defy the NCAA like this.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind here, the NCAA told Memphis that James Wiseman was eligible back in May.
Right.
Now, they did say that there was a clerical error and that they were going to honor the ruling based on their error policy. But Memphis does have ground to stand on here. And so, listen, this is not just Penny. This is David Rudd. This is the president saying, we are not going to stand for this. We are not going to let you bully us around based on your arbitrary, you know, you decide who you wanted to punish on a given day. We're going to play this guy, and we're going to make you take him out.
Yeah, there's several things to sort of piece out that you laid out there. Let's start with the University of Memphis part, because last night I pointed out, and by the way, I think you can have two thoughts on this. One is, yeah, screw the NCAA, and then two, yo, man, you don't need James Wiseman to beat UIC, okay? So that was an interesting decision that clearly was targeted at the NCAA, and I guess if you're going to fight in a way and be that firm about it, you have to play him if you're going to come strong against the NCAA and say, look, it doesn't matter what you guys say, and yeah, we don't need James Wiseman to beat UIC, but we are entitled to play him because you guys had the clerical error, and so this is the way we're going to go, and we're going to hire this high-powered attorney who, by the way, beat a murder charge for one of his clients, so he's clearly got his stuff together. But let me go to what you just said about Memphis. Laird Veach is the new athletic director, and this is really the first adversity he's going to face, because over the last month it's been, you know, all smelling 72 sunshine and roses. And so now you're up against this. You just said that this is probably President Rudd. I'm assuming that you're right. This is Rudd, you think, at the very top level?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a presidential decision right here. I mean, this is above Laird Veach. I mean, and obviously Laird supported it in the statement that was released by the University of Memphis. But this is a president standing up. I mean, this is exactly what that is. You know, this is the president standing up for his coach, for his player, for his program, who's basically – you know, fed up, right? Who's fed up with the NCAA and you know, just not going to let them shovel, you know, crap, you know, in their face anymore. Now, we'll see if this is prudent or wise, but, you know, the reality of the situation is you have two options. You have two options, I feel like, in this situation. One, you can take James out last night and you can kind of start the process. You know, I think the precedent usually has been for a loan like this or, you know, amount of money like this, you basically serve 30% of your season after you pay the loan back. That could be like 9-10 games, right?
Right.
And that would put, again, if we're assuming that's exactly how it would go, that would put James back around the Tennessee game, maybe a little bit later, but he'd be back for conference play and he certainly would be back for the NCAA tournament. Or you could do this. You could just say, F you, double bird. Yeah. We're going to do things. You know, we believe that, you know, we're doing things the right way. And we believe that your punishment is arbitrary. And we believe that you pick and choose who to punish. I mean, Alex Lomax, right? Alex Lomax was a guy who Penny helped out too. But I mean, there was no issue. There was no issue with him being cleared because why? Because he's not the number one player in the country and he didn't pick Memphis over Kentucky and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, again, I think Memphis has some legs to stand on here. It could reshape the NCAA depending on how this thing goes.
This is a game changer. I mean, this is above anything we've ever seen in terms of what it could do to the college landscape because they're doubling down.
Exactly. I mean, most schools just kind of, you know, take it laying down, right? And they just kind of say, okay, we respect the decision and we don't necessarily agree with it, but we're going to hold the guy out.
Yeah, Silvio D'Souza, he's out. Yeah, we're just not going to play the kid.
Memphis has said, we don't care. We don't care what you say you're going to do. We don't care about, you know, you vacating wins. You know, we've been through that before, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, that's the difference here is that Memphis is calling the NCAA's bluff. And it may not be a bluff, by the way. Like, it may not be a bluff at all. It may be like totally like, hey, you know, okay, you're going to play him, which kind of is what the NCAA said. You know, we told you he is likely ineligible, and it's your responsibility to play and ensure eligibility for your players and just know what comes with that.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, I mean, we've never seen, you know, the number one player in the country ruled ineligible basically before the season even starts. I mean, it's unprecedented, and now Memphis is fighting back. It's quite the story.
Well, if you're listening to this special podcast, again, we've got John Martin here on 92.9 FM ESPN from Jason and John. He covers the Tigers, of course, and, you know, the timing was interesting because Gary talked about it at the end of the show. We came into the Grizzlies game. We've got football this weekend. ESPN will be talking about it here on the radio, but there's interesting coverage on ESPN television watching this because you got a guy like Jay Billis who's like strict letter of the law. The NCAA has got their rules, and you still have to abide by them even though they suck. And then you've got guys like Jalen Rose who are like, Yeah, Memphis fans, screw the NCAA. And clearly here in Memphis, that plays well. And I get it. I love it. As somebody who went to UNLV, I clearly get it. And somebody who watched what happened when they vacated the Final Four thing here in Memphis, I get it too. And I don't think Memphis fans are worried about even vacating if that's the result. Like, forget that. The only thing that I worry about, even as a fan in Memphis, is that, okay, you double down, you don't get to go to the NCAA tournament because of this. And that's the thing. Because whether we like it or not, there's probably a good chance that even if they didn't play James Wiseman, they'd be in that tournament.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess that's what you weigh. You know, would they be, you know, what kind of action would the NCAA take? How swift would it be? Like, I was thinking, like, is this going to be like a Deflategate situation? You know, like right. Tom Brady basically played an entire season with Deflategate hanging over him. You know,
right.
I mean, it was quite the spectacle. You mm-hmm. know, and he ended up having to serve that suspension. Ultimately, he had like I think he got 4 games. But I was thinking to myself, like, are we going to go through an entire college basketball season where this outlaw program, the University of Memphis, is playing this ineligible player? And the NCAA can't do anything about it, like, you know, until after.
I think fans like that, too. You
know? Oh, I mean, no, but believe me, I mean, people are going to stand up.
Yeah,
cheer.
Heck yeah.
I mean,
they'll pack the forum. There'll be 18,000 fans. Like, who cares, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for Memphis, right. You know, in Memphis, you know, obviously, like, you know, people are going to go crazy. They're right. going to love it. But but is it wise? Is it prudent? Like, they're going to be vacating of wins. So, you know, but again, I think this is also – you know, when Derrick Rose was ruled retroactively ineligible, and this is true, there was no social media. Like, there was no Twitter to speak of, really. Like, it was in its infancy. You know, Facebook wasn't really a thing yet.
Yep.
There was no, you know, social – there is power with social media, you know, and, mm-hmm. And sometimes that can be good, right, and sometimes that can be bad. In this case, I mean, Clay Travis, Stephen A. Smith, you know, these guys are coming out against, not against Memphis, but against the NCAA, you know, and so Memphis has more support in this than obviously they had in Derrick Rose, because there just wasn't social media around. I mean, if social media was around, the NCAA would have gotten killed for that, too. But I definitely do believe that, you know, because of that, you know, this could be, you know, this is such a fascinating case. And like I said,
totally.
It really could redefine the NCAA. I mean, Memphis and Penny Hardaway are trying to, as we know it, take down the NCAA. I mean, that is what we are watching right now.
A few more minutes here, and then we'll let you go, because we got a weekend to get through, and then, of course, we're going to have a lot of coverage on this on Monday. You know, the timing is interesting, and to your point, it's a massive story. I mean, during the Grizzlies broadcast, which we are obligated to air, we're the flagship, and that's great, but I mean, how you can't help but watch an NBA game and be thinking about, man, there's a future lottery pick in Memphis playing, and saying screw the, and the story is just, it's bananas, and it has taken over social media. I mean, this is the biggest national story going on right now. I got calls last night from some radio.com executives. I mean, this is a massive story, but then that's why we're here. But one more thing on this. And I was talking about this with our good friends at F45 this morning. Shout out to F45. If Penny has not put all his cards on the table, and I'm assuming he has, I'll take him at his word, because yesterday when they said that he disclosed early on back in May, when James Wiseman was initially cleared by the NCAA, that they were forthright in saying that there was $11,500 given to the family of James Wiseman to get them to Memphis, which, by the way, that is a little seedy for the TSSAA, but that's neither here nor there. We're dealing with the NCAA now. My question is, you better have everything on the table if you're Penny Hardaway, because if they figure this one out, and then, like, they figure out, well, and I'm not suggesting this. I'm just saying this is a problem if it were to emerge, that anything else is buried in the bear cave. That it's game, set, match.
Yeah, for sure. But
anything.
Yeah, the everything I've read and everything I've seen is that, you know, he's already disclosed everything there was disclosed to Memphis. So, you know, obviously that will be the key. You know, that will definitely be the key is, you know, how forthright you've been. Donzelay Artis, you know, James Wiseman's mom, mm-hmm. It sounds like was upfront about the situation, and she told the powers that be and the interested parties, you know, about the 11,500. So,
right.
But yeah, I mean, I think
it's a hell of a move, by the way. That's a lot of money. I mean, it cost me $500 to move across town with two moving vans.
Well, I mean, you know, you are moving from Nashville. Yeah. You know, I mean. You know, who knows how much stuff they had.
Okay.
They had, he's 7'1", man.
Yeah, he got a lot of stuff. True.
Yeah.
All right. All right, John Martin, I'll let you go. I appreciate you carving out some extra time here for 15 minutes to talk about this here on 92.9 ESPN.com and, of course, the show on Monday at 11 o'clock. Appreciate you, man.
You got it.